Dave, how are you doing?
Not too bad. You know, I never made it to the major leagues. I wasn't that good of a ball player, but you know, everybody's got to have walk-up music in the major league, so I guess that's my equivalent of the walk-up music.
The money.
That's right.
Yeah. I guess mine is Steve Winwood then, which is fine. Fine by me. Dave, we're going to talk about prioritizing your finances here, and I guess, you know, the commitment of time and, you know, what you have to do to make sure that you have everything in order. But first, let's just kind of recap this past week on the stock market. Made up for a lot of losses, haven't we?
Yeah, we've had an interesting start to the year. The first 4 months of the year were phenomenal. May was a bit of a setback, and then we've started off June hot again. So we've had some real volatility in the markets. The last, you know, year or so have been pretty volatile. We finished 2018 on a major down swoon, and we started 2019 on a major uptick. So, you know, we just kind of be patient and stay the course. But it's been a little bit volatile, and we just want to make sure we're keeping an eye on things for sure.
There has been talk about maybe lowering rates. I know last time the Fed met, they were going to hold steady and keep interest rates the same. Now, with kind of the new jobs numbers coming out, they're looking at lowering them. Does that mean we could see a bit of a rally here in the market later this year?
Maybe. We have to be careful, though. You know, there's a lot of, you know, guesswork that goes into what we think the Fed's going to do. And I think, unfortunately, sometimes we get some things priced into the market. So if we really do get that where people are expecting this, you know, cut in interest rates and we don't get the cut, that could lead to a little bit more downturn in the market. So we'll see. Interest rates have fallen. I don't know how closely you follow mortgage rates and so forth, but we've seen those come downwards. Mm-hmm. I think there are some people that are expecting a cut. I don't know that we'll see a cut. Maybe we'll see another hold. But I think maybe what's given the market a little sigh of relief is maybe we're starting to figure out that there probably won't be another interest rate increase here, at least not in the short term anyways.
Well, regardless, if you haven't already, this is the best time. You need to do it now. Prioritize your finances. And for a lot of people, it is finding that time to put things together, Dave. So I bet you hear that a lot. I didn't have time to meet with you, Dave.
Too busy. You know, we're busier now more than ever. You know, we get constant notifications on our phone. We have work. We have travel. We have kids' activities. You know, all these other things are competing for our time, and it's sometimes hard just to find time to, you know, check in on your finances. So one of the things we thought we'd talk about today is, you know, how can we do some things that are kind of quick hitters, some things that we can do when we're really busy to prioritize our finances.
So the first thing here that you have here, you have five tips. The first one's to identify your financial goals. Identifying your goals, I mean, I think everyone knows that they're going to retire, but are we talking about, you know, when you're going to retire, what kind of time frame you have, and that sort of thing is kind of the first thing you need to figure out.
Yeah, because I think when we're busy as we are, I think sometimes the easy thing is just to set your finances on autopilot and just assume that everything's going to take care of itself. But I think, you know, there's a few simple steps you can take, and you hit it right on the head. Number one is just identifying what your financial goals are. You know, we need to figure out, you know, what it is that we're trying to accomplish. You know, when do we want to retire? Do we want to pay for our kids to go to school and college? If we're going to pay for them to go to college, do we want to pay for all of it or some of it? Do we want to buy a second home? Do we want to travel the world? So I think it's important, you know, because we can get caught up in the day-to-day activities and we don't leave time to, you know, think about those future financial goals. And it's easy to procrastinate about planning for those long-term goals. But one of my suggestions, just take 10 minutes and sit down and jot down, what are your goals for the next year? What are your goals for the next 2 to 5 years? And then maybe what are your long-term goals? So at least you have them cemented in your mind, what it is that you're trying to accomplish.
So if you're maybe a younger guy like myself who's just kind of getting into work life and has many decades left, hopefully, before looking at retirement, versus someone who maybe has already been working for several decades and is starting, you know, to consider retirement here, kind of have to figure that out. But kind of different tracks that these two would go on. If you're looking to retire sooner, would you put them in a different kind of program versus someone who's just starting out?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you have your younger workforce, you know, obviously they have, like you say, decades to save for retirement. And one of the things we talk about is one of the massive differences between people who are closer to retirement and people who are far off from retirement is the structure of their portfolio. So typically, the longer term your goals, the farther away they are, the more aggressive you can afford to be in your approach. Mm. And as you get closer and closer to your goal in the red zone, as we call it, but you need to be a little bit more conservative. You know, one of the things that the analogies that I use when we talk about portfolio management, it's very similar to driving your car. When you're getting in your car and you're driving from here across the state to Grand Rapids, or, you know, like Paul likes to go up to the UP, we're making those long drives. You know, when you think about it, those drives, we're going really fast in our car. We're driving 70, 75, sometimes 80 miles an hour in our car because we're going a really long distance. So for the younger workers that are saving for retirement, they can afford to be a little bit more aggressive with their portfolios because they got a very long distance. Mm. When we get that shorter term, when we get the people who are retirements right around the corner, we're nearing retirement or in retirement, we have to be a little bit more cautious. We have to drive a little bit slower. We have to put the right portfolio together, and we have to maybe tone it down just a smidge. So those are the types of things that you can do. And then for the younger people, the biggest thing I suggest is just start saving as soon as possible, especially when it comes to things like your 401k and your workplace. If they're offering you some sort of match, you know, dollar for dollar match on the first 5%, put that 5% in, because then you're going to get that 5% match. You know, that's like your employer's offering you free money and you want to take advantage. And you have the time value of money on your side. You have the power of compounding. The quicker you can get that money saved up, the more time it has to grow.
Absolutely. And that goes right into the second point here, is understanding your cash flow and deciding how much of that, if you know, how much cash flow you have, and then what percentage of that you want to put away for retirement.
Yeah, understanding your cash flow is the number, you know, the second thing on our bullet list here of things you can do when you're busy and how to prioritize your finances is understanding that cash flow, because we live in an interesting era. You know, people have lots of side jobs and freelance work or second jobs. So people have income coming from a lot of different sources. Sometimes people have a large percentage of income coming in from, you know, bonuses or, you know, some sort of incentives through their employer. So their cash flow maybe isn't as steady as, you know, it had been in the past when we were working on a salaried job. So we see a lot more different types of income coming in for people. So one of the things you really want to do is get a good feel on your cash flow. You know, a lot of times I have people come in and they say that, you know, I don't want you to put me on a budget. Well, my job is not really so much to put you on a budget, is just to understand what your cash flow is. How much do we have coming in? How much do we have going out? How much are we saving? Is there room to save a little bit more if we need to? So we really need to narrow down and nail down what is the money, what money do we have coming in? What money do we have going out? And how much are we dedicating to saving? Because, we, you know, there's an old adage out there, you have to pay yourself first. So one of the things we talk about is having a systematic savings built in. So we pay our bills and we have to pay ourselves like we're a bill. We have to save and then spend what's left. And so once you have a savings set aside and we're spending what's left, unfortunately what most people do is they spend and try to save what's left. And that's usually a recipe for disaster. So we want to make sure we have a regimented savings program built in and then feel free to spend what's left.
That's a great idea, Dave. And of course, it's hard to determine how much money you're going to contribute to a Roth or a 401k if you don't know how much money's coming in. Yep. And you definitely can't make any decisions on spending, really, without knowing how much is coming in as well. So that's a good, I mean, obviously, take the moment to get that calculator out and add up your income and then see how much of that you can afford to stow away.
Absolutely.
The next one is digital tools. What's a digital tool?
Well, we think about it. There's lots of banks or financial planning firms or different apps out there, maybe for your phone, that helps you monitor your progress towards your financial goals. So once we've got a clear picture of what those goals are, we understand what our cash flow is. Now we need to find a way to keep track of our progress, right? So, you know, what we want to do is be able to check in on your money periodically, you know, to monitor maybe for fraudulent transactions. We want to look at our investment growth. We want to be able to move money between accounts in real time. And we want to just make sure we make those things as easy as possible. And we want to do them on a pretty regular basis instead of waiting for it to all build up. And all of a sudden we've made a major project for ourselves. So if we're able to do those things pretty regularly, and, you know, in the world of smartphones, people spend a lot of time staring at those phones. So maybe put that to work for you. And you know, my firm, Ameriprise Financial, has a great app. And you can track all your progress of your goals. You can track all the progress of your accounts. Lots of different banks and financial planning firms offer similar apps. Those types of things kind of help you kind of stay on track.
I will, I guess, have a word of caution here or counter that to some extent, is maybe you don't want to check it too often with the day-to-day cycle of, especially recently, how volatile the market is. I think if you're checking it too often, you could get quite discouraged some days.
Yeah, it can be one of these things. You know, it's funny, you know, when you've been doing this for 24 years like I have, you remember a time when the only way people knew what was going on with their accounts was when they got their quarterly statement in the mail.
Yeah.
And in between those statements, you had no idea. I mean, you had some idea whether the market was up or down, but you really didn't have access to account values. And then it got to the point where we were doing monthly statements. Well, now people can check accounts 24/7. So we've obviously in the information age where everything comes out much quicker. But I, you know, to your point, yeah, that can kind of steer you in the wrong direction sometimes because we get a little over consumed with the day-to-day fluctuations of the account. And why the day-to-day fluctuations are important, they're not as important as the quarter or the annual fluctuations. We really got to keep an eye on what are our goals and not get caught up in too much in the day-to-day movements.
I mean, I'm tempted to check it every day, to be honest. I want to check my bank accounts. I want to check my investment accounts every day. But sometimes I, especially if I've heard that the Dow or the S&P are down that day, I kind of opt not to check it because there's no, I know it took a hit, but you know, I don't need to see how big of a hit it took until, sure. You know, until a few days later when hopefully things
well, and that's the beauty
out.
Of, you know, systematic savings. Again, for someone like yourself, who's a younger worker who's accumulating money inside their 401k, when the market has those dips, we're buying stuff on sale, right? Mm-hmm. We're accumulating more shares with the contributions that we're making. So those types of things, sometimes we got to put a positive spin on and say, you know what? Yeah, it's down, but that's helping me accumulate more when I put money in my 401k this Friday when I get paid.
The last two tips, call your parents, call your kids.
Yeah.
So what do those mean?
Yeah, I think it depends on your age group. But, you know, if your parents are approaching retirement or maybe they're already retired, you might just want to ask them some questions about how they plan to spend their finances and their day-to-day activities or their financial world, you know, because those, you know, are people that have been there, done that, so to speak, and they have some experience in that way. So we want to talk to them about, you know, some of the things that they've done. You know, maybe the other thing you want to talk to them about is what about the intention of their assets at their death? Have they thought about those types of things? Those aren't comfortable conversations, but they're conversations we probably need to have with our parents. So, you know, take 10 minutes and call your parents and kind of express your desire to sit down and have a conversation with them about those types of things. And maybe you want to talk to them like you're not trying to know all the full details of all their finances, but you know, the goal of the conversation is just kind of learn at a high level what their plans are and to see if you can help them potentially with any of the things they're trying to do.
They can help you make some decisions too.
Sure.
When you're looking at planning and saying, okay, well, I can kind of count on this at some point. Maybe I want to move some money over here, or over there, or change up my, plan of attack.
And sometimes, you know, I tell my kids this all the time. Sometimes you can learn as much about what not to do as what to do. So maybe your parents can share with you some of the mistakes they've made along the way. Maybe they would say to you, I wish I had, you know, I met a great financial planner and I wish I had started talking to him years before. So, you know, or maybe I wish I wouldn't have done, you know, this type of investment because that didn't really work out for me. So there's a lot of things they can probably share with you about some tips and things that have worked really well for them over the years and maybe some things you want to avoid as well.
So, yeah, the other coin of that is either maybe if you're my age, call your parents, or if you're have kids, call your kids.
So,
it goes back and forth. So either way.
So yeah, great idea for you, Caleb. You'd be in the call your parents category and just talk to them. And again, what's really worked well for you over the years? What's not worked so well? Is there anything I can help you with? Have you thought about your estate plan? Is there anything there that, you know, I need to be aware of? Is there wishes that you have that you want me to make sure that I know about? And then on your parents' side, as they're getting closer to retirement, maybe they should just kind of reach out to you, you know, because they're thinking, maybe Caleb has some questions, you know. So if you think about it, if you're wondering what your parents' future plans are, it's possible that, you know, your kids might have similar situation questions for you. So if you're in that, you know, generation where you have parents that are already retired or in their older years and you had questions for them, maybe now your kids have those same questions for you. So maybe you want to reach out to your kids and explain to them, you know, what your plans are and what your experiences have been. And maybe you want to talk to your kids about your estate plan. And if I have a serious illness, these are the things I want to have happen. These are the things I don't want to have happen. I have a durable power of attorney. I have a healthcare directive. This is where you can find the documents. This is what I want to have happen with my healthcare. This is what I don't want to have happen with my healthcare. So I think it's important that we have those conversations with our parents and with our kids just to make sure everybody's on the same page.
You got to talk about it now.
You have to.
If anything that we talked about today, Dave, maybe piqued someone's interest, they want to get down and figure out how they can start saving and follow some of these tips, what should they do?
They can reach out to me because, you know, if you engage the right financial professionals, they can help you stay accountable for your goals. I mean, that's what the, you know, a good financial planner will help you do. And many financial professionals offer a free consultation so you can learn more about what they do and how they help clients before you sign on the dotted line. So if anybody's interested in talking to me, they can call me at my office. The phone number is 810-987-5370. My office is located right downtown Port Huron at 527 Huron Avenue, or you can find me on social media outlets like Facebook and so forth.
All right, Dave Betts from Ameriprise Financial. Our Money in the Morning segment for this week,